This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, June 15th. While 10 meters has not been the hottest band in the amateur radio toolkit of late, Iran apparently has found it an ideal spot to operate various radars. The interference was audible in International Amateur Radio Union Region 1 and perhaps elsewhere in the world. Quote, Iranian radars were very active on our 10-meter band every day, reported IARU Monitoring System Coordinator for Region 1, Wolf Hadel, DK2OM. On 28.860 MHz, we could daily receive the strong and long-lasting signals. Other frequencies were used in frequency hopping mode, unquote. The list of additional amateur radio intruders on 10 meters included, or in some cases no longer included, some of the usual suspects. Hadel reported that FM signals from Russian taxi dispatchers, DriftNet fishery buoys, and citizens band users in Brazil have been operating on various 10-meter frequencies. Meanwhile, some chronic intruding signals have disappeared. Among the missing is the 14295 kHz harmonic from Radio Tajik on 4765 kHz. Radio Hargeisa in Somaliland on 7120 kHz is said to have been off the air for several weeks due to a transmitter failure. With luck, the broadcast battle between Radio Eritrea and Radio Ethiopia on 40 meters may now be at an end. For some time now, Radio Eritrea contended with Ethiopian white noise interference on 7140 and 7180 kHz. This month, Ethiopia announced that it would accept a peace deal with Eritrea to end a bloody 20-year-old dispute. Hadel reported a hybrid modem signal for a few days in May on 14.000 MHz from the Israeli Navy, consisting of 6 carriers. Just below 20 meters on 13.998.0 MHz, transmissions of MFSK-16 from Russia were observed on May 31st. The signal was heard up to 14.001.165 MHz in the amateur band. As a beta test, the popular Reverse Beacon Network has announced that it's now offering a separate Telnet feed for FT8 spots at telnet.reversebeacon.net:7001, in addition to the current spot feed, which will be repurposed to handle only CW and RTTY spots. In addition, a beta version of Aggregator version 5 that can handle FT8 spots received from WSJTX will be available on the RBN website, with instructions on how RBN node operators can configure their nodes to spot FT8 call signals on one or more bands. The most striking characteristic of FT8 spots is their sheer quantity, the RBN announcement said, citing weekday statistics from May 23rd and 24th, when FT8 spots represented 86% and 87% of all spots, respectively, while CW spots were 13% and 14%, respectively, and RTTY spots were below 1%. Throughput on both days totaled some 30,000 spots. The RBN team said it wanted to find out whether RBN servers would be up to the task before the fall contest season. Radio amateurs in Canada, primarily in the province of Quebec, have mounted a petition drive demanding that members of the House of Commons take decisive regulatory action against a Quebec resident who has been causing deliberate interference. The petition does not spell out the particulars of the allegations, but says the alleged offender, apparently unlicensed, is already known to authorities. Petitioners claim that the individual's actions have been threatening the security of emergency radio communication in the province, and they called upon parliamentary lawmakers to ensure the security of HF radio communication. According to the petition, quote, for 2 years, a Nicolet resident illegally set up a transmitting radio station and is generating interference on purpose. Amateur radio operators in Quebec have identified the illegal radio station and brought it to the attention of Innovation, Science and Economic Department Canada, and its inspectors seized the individual's radio equipment, unquote. Radio Amateurs of Canada, the country's national amateur radio organization, was noncommittal. RAC has stated, quote, "While we have not had a chance to investigate the specific details of the incidents the petition refers to, we agree with the importance of acting to support the security of high-frequency communications," unquote. As of June 12th, the online petition had gathered more than 625 signatures, primarily from Quebec and Ontario. Canada has more than 50,000 amateur radio licensees. Phoenix sailor and radio amateur Timothy Henning, KE7WMZ, has expressed his gratitude to the Maritime Mobile Service Network for intercepting and handling his distress call on 14.300 MHz. Net control operator Harry Williams, W0LS, caught Henning's call requesting assistance with an urgent medical condition on May 23rd. Henning, some 200 nautical miles south of Ensenada, Mexico, in his sailing vessel Victory Cat, reported that a severe vision problem had developed in his right eye and he was seeking immediate medical attention and advice. Williams contacted the U.S. Coast Guard in Alameda, California, relaying all information concerning the medical problem and staying on the air with KE7WMZ for several hours. The Coast Guard, in turn, relayed the information to the on-duty flight surgeon, who advised that Henning seek immediate medical attention at the closest port of call. It was decided that Henning would continue to Ensenada, and the Coast Guard arranged to have someone meet him there and transport him to the Balboa Naval Hospital in San Diego, while his wife stood by with the vessel at the dock. Ultimately, it was determined that Henning had a detached retina, and he was transported to Phoenix for surgery. The Maritime Mobile Service Network operates daily on 14.300 MHz from 1700 UTC to 0200 UTC. It is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. EMA Region 10, headquartered in Bothell, Washington, plans to participate in ARRL Field Day and utilize 5 MHz interoperability channels. The event will take place on Saturday, June 23rd, 1400 to 2000 UTC. Frequencies will be 5.330.5, 5.346.5, and 5.403.5 MHz. This HF capability is being tested as an option for an emergency or disaster. Federal stations from FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Army, Air Force, and Coast Guard, the National Weather Service, and amateur radio stations will attempt to make contact on the three channels to test interoperability for a major disaster in which the telecommunications infrastructure were significantly compromised. FEMA Region 10 will use the call sign WGY-910. This capability was requested by FEMA Region 10 radio amateurs for the region to participate in Field Day.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Field Day is almost upon us. Will the astronauts on board the ISS be making random contacts on Field Day? It will be nice if they do. However, keep in mind that operating time other than school contacts are done during the astronauts' time right before they go to bed. Having an astronaut spend hours on the radio during Field Day would be wonderful, although very expensive for NASA to justify. Therefore, the answer is probably not. Take a listen now and then as the ISS passes over and be ready just in case. Do not forget, everyone is gearing up for the ARRL Field Day. If you have someone making your satellite contacts, be sure to include their scores in the AMSAT Field Day. AMSAT has a shorter window for turning in your score so that we can make it into the next edition of the AMSAT Journal. For full information, visit AMSAT.org, click on Events, and Field Day. I will be operating the satellites from my local club. Hope to make a contact with you. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, June 15th. A sunspot just crept into view, but not to worry. It's fairly weak and doesn't pose much of a chance for strong solar flares. Its appearance, however, has caused the solar flux to rise just into the low 70s, which should give us some openings on 17 and 15 meters. At the same time, our planet has entered a stream of solar particles, but it's a weak stream. We should see few, if any, disruptions on the HF bands over the next several days. On VHF and UHF, 6 meters is still producing fireworks, especially for the FT8 users. Look for daytime openings between late morning and mid to late afternoon. Tropo openings have been popping up on 2 meters and above in Southern California, the Central U.S., and far northern Maine.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.